This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on government's initiatives for the welfare of tribal communities. The participants are K.G. Suresh, political analyst, and Arjun Chaudhary, anchor.
So I'm joined by Professor Dr. K.G. Suresh, and we will discuss about the developmental projects for the welfare of the tribal population in India. And to give you some background before we start the discussion, there are specific provisions in the Constitution of India under Article 275 for the provision of infrastructure works for tribals, for the development, and the schemes that are promoted by the central and the state governments. The target, of course, being the northeast of India. Dr. Suresh, a warm welcome to you on this discussion.
Thank you.
Dr. Suresh, for the benefit of our listeners, could you tell us, who are the scheduled tribes under the constitution, and is a target the northeastern states of the country?
Not just the northeastern states. You know, northeast certainly is a priority area, but there are scheduled tribes all over the country. From Ladakh to Kerala, you have scheduled tribes, and who have been over the centuries deprived of the development process, and therefore special provisions have been made for their benefit, their welfare within the constitution. And also, from time to time, governments of the day have been taking proactive steps. But certainly, it has been a matter of concern that the development has not reached the grassroots level. And as a byproduct, you saw certain militant movements taking advantage of the situation. And what is now being described as the Red Corridor, the Naxalism, particularly in the tribal dominated areas, there has been an upsurge, and the militants or the terrorists have been of the radical ideology, have been instigating the tribals against the mainland, the plains people, and the governments of the day, telling them they are responsible for the plight of the tribal people. So, particularly, we have seen in the last 10 years, a lot of efforts are being made to reach out to them. So, a multi-pronged approach has been adopted, where the focus is not just on exterminating extremism or terrorism from these areas in terms of law and order, not only in terms of building infrastructure. And by infrastructure, I don't mean just the roads and the buildings and the hospitals, but also taking care of the basic necessities of the tribals so that they feel that they are as much taken care of, as much they are part of the national mainstream. And that includes all aspects of development, from potable water to electricity, and special attention had to be given. And on the occasion of Gandhi Jayanti yesterday, we saw the Prime Minister himself launching the very ambitious Dharti Aba Janjatiya Gram Utkarsh Abhiyan, which was announced only on September 18. The cabinet had given its approval, and not even a fortnight has passed. The Prime Minister has already launched, and there could not have been a more auspicious occasion than Gandhi Jayanti, because Mahatma Gandhi, the father of the nation, believed that India will not progress unless the tribal population develops at a faster pace. So I think that this whole scheme, in addition to the earlier provision, is to fast track the development process that has been going on for quite some time now.
Professor, could you tell us about the outlay in the budget for the development of the scheduled tribes here? As far as India is concerned, could you tell us about the specific Pradhan Mantri Janjati Adivasi Maha Abhiyan, which has a budget of 24,000 crore rupees?
80,000, yeah. And this PM, it is also called PM Jan Man. It is about Janjati Adivasi Nyay Maha Abhiyan, that is providing justice to them. And justice is in terms of holistic development, in terms of, for example, it was this government, let us not forget that, decided to celebrate the 15th November, or the birthday of Bhagwan Birsa Munda, the tribal hero who fought against the British, as Janjati Gaurav Divas. And the government, in terms of not just this, but for the first time in the history of the country, we have had a tribal leader as the president of the country, President Draupadi Murmu. So on the one hand, very symbolic, very powerful symbols, including celebration of Janjati Gaurav Divas, the election of a president from tribal background. On the other hand, very substantial allocations, as you pointed out, have been made to take care of education, healthcare, water, and particularly the whole idea has been to target the extremely backward, what you call the Ati Pichda areas, and in terms of Anganwadis, in terms of routine immunization, in terms of midday meal schemes. The whole idea is to, and not only that, what is interesting is that even mobile is part of mobile connectivity. So we are no more just talking about road connectivity, building roads up to these areas, but also improving communication connectivity so that they remain connected to the district headquarters, they remain connected to the state headquarters. The whole idea is to ensure that they get faster relief, faster solutions to their problems through not just infrastructure, road connectivity, but also through modern technology like mobile. Mobile towers are being erected in the most backward districts. So this is again taking what is called e-governance to the grassroots. So there is a very serious attempt at ensuring that there is an even development, that there is no lopsided development of only the urban areas or the cities, but also the backward villages, the backward tribal areas, which are deep inside the forest. It is a big challenging thing, but a serious attempt is being made to ensure maximum outreach.
Could you give us your opinion as to the implementation of the Honorable Prime Minister's effort to uplift tribal, especially the development of PVTG, the particularly vulnerable tribal groups?
These are tribal groups who have been deprived, denied of development for various reasons, including not just political, but also social ostracism they have faced over the decades, over the centuries. And to make them part of the entire development process, if you saw yesterday, the Prime Minister inaugurated 40 Eklavya schools and laid the foundation of 25 Eklavya schools. So the whole idea is that these Eklavya schools are basically residential schools where the students are imparted with not just the state-of-the-art technology and also with the latest in education, but also vocational. Their skill upliftment, skill enhancement is also there. Vocationalization is also there so that they can take back their knowledge to the society and empower the society with their knowledge. So this is part of the larger development agenda where whatever isolation they have been facing so far, the whole idea is to bring them at par, including the future generation, with what is happening in the rest of the country. And also to ensure that real empowerment takes place. That is the whole idea.
Well, speaking of empowerment, what is the type and nature of employment that is being generated? I understand that horticulture, sericulture, animal husbandry, beehives, development of agricultural lands, and ITIs, industrial training institutes, are being set up so that employment is facilitated. What has been the results so far of this effort?
Yes, absolutely. How to engage them in fruitful vocational activities is something that has been a matter of concern. So instead of imposing having a top-down approach, now what we are adopting is a bottoms-up, whereas the solution is being looked at in the local area. So there is a global outlook, but the approaches are local. So what is now called the local model, where solutions are being looked at in terms, and of course, this is also being taken care that it is in sync with the sustainable development goals. Sustainability is there, sustainable livelihood, organic farming, which is in great demand. So what are the products that can really actually kind of enhance productivity and enhance their income? We are not just looking at mere livelihood, but also livelihood which is also sustainable, but at the same time it is also remunerative. Now a lot of importance has been given to millets, which are hugely grown in these tribal areas. So millets are being promoted like anything. We celebrated the International Year of Millets. And today, you know, millets has become not just fashionable, but also very healthy. So there's a great demand for millets, which were hitherto ignored. So a lot of emphasis on millets production, on livestock, on fisheries, as you rightly pointed out, aquaculture, on horticulture. Now, these are areas where they have immense kind of expertise. For centuries, they have been working on this. So that comes very naturally. And sports is another area where a lot of these tribal youth are being promoted. So there is hardly any area aspect of life which is being neglected. So the Prime Minister's proactive approach, and he has already announced that in the coming year when this will be celebrated, it will be on a bigger scale. And he has said that on 15th November, he is looking at implementation. Personally, the Prime Minister himself is monitoring. If you look at the September 18 cabinet note, now there is going to be a direct monitoring from the center of all the schemes in an integrated approach is being adopted to ensure that these schemes are implemented and there is no overlapping. And all the key ministries have all been identified and they will all be working in tandem with each other to ensure that the delivery mechanism is robust and the tribal people actually benefit. And it's a very targeted, precise, targeted approach rather than kind of a general approach to the entire development process.
So the mission implementation is now has a convergence of 11 interventions of 9 ministries, yes, as you just mentioned. You have the special central assistance to the tribal sub-plan. You have the CTDP, the Comprehensive Tribal Development Program. There's also the effort to bring them closer to urban settlement. Could you tell us something about housing and residential infrastructure before we conclude this discussion?
Yes, absolutely. The most major scheme here is the Pradhan Mantri Awas Yojana. So the whole idea is to give them pakka houses. The Prime Minister, if you remember, only on September 15th, he had visited Jharkhand. And one of the major highlights of the visit was to provide pakka houses worth hundreds of crores rupees to the tribal communities. So obviously that includes not just a house, but it comes with sanitation because of its commitment to Swachh Bharat. I think that this focus is to ensure that in terms of hygiene, in terms of health, all these provisions are taken care of. And then the Pradhan Mantri Gram Sadak Yojana is there, which takes care of the rural road structure is there. So the Prime Minister Pradhan Mantri Awas Yojana in conjunction with the Pradhan Mantri Gram Sadak Yojana ensures better connectivity of these tribal, deep, far, remote tribal villages to the towns and, as you rightly pointed out, to the urban centers.
Well, thank you so much, Professor Dr. K.G. Suresh, for being with us on Akashvani and explaining us in simple terms what have been the developmental projects for the welfare of the tribal population. And the discussion is not only targeting the tribals in the northeast, but all across the country under the theme Sabka Vikas. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You are listening to a discussion on government's initiatives for the welfare of tribal communities. The participants were K.G. Suresh, political analyst, and Arjun Chaudhary, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsttalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.